Welcome to the Trigator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I'm your host, Nate Tanner. The Trigator Podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com and sign up for your free trial of the Trigator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more, worry about money less. I want to start off by talking about four types of budgets and kind of the progression on what I went through as I was learning to budget myself and my progression through these four types of budgets. And the first type that I want to start out with is no budget. Now, this is a type of budgeting. It's where you don't have a budget at all. And when you don't have a budget, it means that you don't have a plan for your money and you're just kind of spending. And when I was really young, first out of high school and kind of trying to learn the ways of money that I was never taught because they don't teach you in school how to manage your money, I went with this method where I didn't have a budget and I just kind of, you know, I just spent money and I didn't even really track what was going on. And it caused issues because I would find myself bouncing checks or having to go into overdraft to pay for things or different things like that. And this is probably the worst way of budgeting because if you don't have a budget, then you don't have a plan and you're going to run into problems with overspending and these issues with bounced checks and such. So that no budget plan is not the best. And I learned that very quickly, thankfully, that was not the way to go. The second type of budget that I moved into after I went from no budget was what I called the checking balance budget. And in this type of budget, you're basically budgeting based on what's in your checking account balance. And this happens kind of, for me, it morphed because I was tired of bouncing checks and tired of going into overdraft and tired of things not having the money in my account when I was spending it. And so I started looking at my checking account and saying, okay, if there's money in my checking account, then I have money to spend. And that was the whole basis of my budget, was just that idea that any money that's in my checking account, I can spend. What I learned about this type of budgeting is that while I didn't bounce checks anymore and I didn't go into the overdraft, I only spent the money that I had, I found out that I didn't know where my money was going. And I would get down to a zero balance and think, where did all my money go? And so it's not a very effective way of budgeting as far as things go, because I wasn't saving anything. I didn't have anything for any unexpected expenses. I was just kind of going along and paying for things as I went. This was my early way of budgeting that was not great. But again, this was a progression that I had to make, and I had to go through these different steps so that I could learn how to budget more strongly. This checking account balance I did for a long time, longer than I care to admit. And it was not effective, as I mentioned, because I wasn't saving. I didn't know where anything was going. And when the only positive that it had was that I was spending money whenever I wanted. Which, you know, if you're wanting to just go and have fun all the time, then you go and have fun all the time, but you're not really getting anything financially. And actually, I found myself getting into debt, because when your checking account balance goes to zero, you find yourself using a credit card. And so this really caused me to not get into a good financial place when I was practicing this type of budgeting, which again is that checking balance budget idea. But then I started to learn a little bit more about budgeting and started getting tired of not knowing where my money was going. And so I created what I would call, and this is the third type of budget, is I call it an unbalanced budget. And the reason it's unbalanced is because at the end of each of my budgets, I either had money or I owed money. It wasn't balanced. It didn't come out to zero, which we're going to get into a little bit here later as far as getting to zero. But there was always either more on one side or the other of the equal sign. They never came up to a balance. What I found with this method was that while I was able to track where my money was going better, and as I stuck to it, it was a very good thing. Where I ran into problems was that I would find myself overspending still on things, because if I didn't have a plan for money and I just had money left over, then I was just spending it. And I just was throwing it away basically to whatever I wanted at that point or that moment. And so this idea of an unbalanced budget, while it was an improvement from the no budget and the checking account account balance budget, it still was not the most solid budget that I could have, because I still had money that was going places that I didn't know, and I wasn't tracking it as well as I could have. And that takes us to the fourth type of budget, and what is the most powerful type of budget that you can have, and that is the zero-based budget. What a zero-based budget is it's essentially a balanced budget. And when I say balance, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about one of those old scales that like Lady Justice holds, one of those balanced scales. And in order for it to be balanced, you have to have the same on both sides, right? If one side is heavier than the other, then it doesn't go in balance. And I want you to think of a budget like this, because what happens is you have two different things in your budget. You have income and you have expenses. Those are the basic building blocks of a budget, is income and expenses. And if your income and your expenses equal each other, then you're balanced. And that's what we have when we have a zero-based budget, is that they are equal because your leftover is zero and you're in total balance. And this is the best way to budget, because when you're balanced, you know exactly where every dollar is going, and every dollar is actually going where you're planning it to go. The zero-based budget is a powerful tool that allows you to have complete control over your finances. And when you have complete control over your finances, you'll find that you're achieving your financial goals. We're going to talk tomorrow more about setting and keeping financial goals, but you really need to have financial goals. And in order to achieve those, you need that zero-based budget so that you're sure that you can achieve them. Because when you're following that zero-based budget, you know exactly where things are going and you're able to put things in their proper place. Okay. Now, one thing that I found that really helps is switching your thinking a little bit from a monthly budget to a spending plan. Okay. And a spending plan is a per paycheck plan that you put together so that you know exactly what is happening with each of your paychecks. Because what you'll find is that there are things that you pay for more often than monthly. And you actually pay for things with every paycheck, such as gas or groceries or some other things like that, where you are paying out of each of your paychecks a certain amount to go towards those expenses. And it's easier to plan for these things on a per paycheck basis than it is to go against a monthly budget. And then the next thing you'll want to do is put within your paycheck plan when your monthly bills are due, because what you'll see is that when you probably do this already and without realizing it, you think, okay, well, my first paycheck of the month, if you're paid twice a month, for example, is where you pay your electric bill and your mortgage. And then your second check is where you pay the water bill and you pay for your cable bill or whatever else bills you have. And you're probably already doing this, but you just aren't realizing it. But if you put it down and you make a plan based on that paycheck, and each paycheck you come up with a zero amount for your budget, then you know exactly where every dollar is going and you're able to achieve those financial goals. And I do want to give out a quick shout out to the Busted to Balanced Budget Challenge that's on Trigator. If you go out to trigator.com/trigator-u, then you can join the Busted to Balanced Budget Challenge. It's a 5-day challenge that each day it'll give you some tasks to do and help you to create this balanced budget that we've been talking about, this zero-based budget. So I'd encourage you to go out and check that out and sign up for that course. It is free, so there's no charge or obligation there, and it will take you through the steps that you need to go from a busted to a balanced budget. Okay, let's head over to some questions. This first one is from Zishan. He says, when applying for a mortgage, do they look at bank statements? Yes, they do. One of the big things with a mortgage is that they want to make sure that you have the ability to repay that debt, of course, and that you can afford the payments. And so they're going to be looking into your financial history as well as your current financial status very deeply. And that's going to include things like W-2 statements, your tax returns, bank statements. They're going to want an accounting of all your debt and lots of paperwork around your personal finances. And that is normal. That is something that they're going to be looking through and really scrutinizing to make sure that you're making what you say you make and that you're spending what you say you spend. So yes, they will, and as well as a bunch of other documents from you. So be ready to go through the ringer when you are applying for a mortgage, because they will ask you for lots of different documentation, and it may seem like a lot, but they're just trying to protect you as well as themselves from getting into a situation that you're not able to repay that debt. So good questions, Zeeshan. The next question is from Demir. He says, how should you manage your money with high inflation? We actually did a complete episode on this a few episodes ago where we talked about that inflation is killing us. But to reiterate just briefly, one of the things is that you have a finite amount of income. So you either need to, if we go back to that idea of a scale that has the two sides to it, those old, you know, the Lady Justice type of scale, and we have income on one side and expenses on the other, they need to balance. And so you, with inflation going up, you know that your expenses are going to be getting more on that side of the scale. So you have basically two options that you can do. One is you can increase the amount that you are putting onto the income side. And you can do that by getting either a new job, switching careers, getting additional skills to get a better job, things like that, or to pick up a side hustle to help you pay for those things and keep that working. And that's one way. The other is you need to remove things off of the expense side, and you need to cut down on certain things that are maybe more of the wants than they are the needs. And I know that that's not always the most fun thing to do, and that it can be really difficult, especially when you're trying to make those key decisions on what you want to take off and such. But unfortunately, this is how numbers work, and this is how the math works, is that you either need to increase your income or decrease your expenses in order to keep that balance and that zero-based budget. And so that's how I would recommend managing your money in this high inflation, is either increase some income or decrease expenses and keep, so you can maintain that balance. Because unfortunately, inflation is not within our control, and it's not something that we can just switch on or off, and prices aren't going to come down magically. It's going to, you know, if they do come back down after some time, it's going to take some time and going to take some changes and things. But ultimately, you do need to manage your money with the inflation. So keep that balance by doing those things that we talked about. So great question, Demir. Last question is from Joseph. He says, do you believe you must have debt to get rich or use debt to get rich? That's a really interesting question, because if you talk to a lot of rich people, you'll find people out there that used debt to get rich, and they'll find people that didn't use debt to get rich. And it all depends on the person and what they did. And what I want to do is talk to you about debt as a couple of different ideas around it. First off, there's consumer debt, okay? And that's the debt that we like to talk about a lot on this show and talk about getting out of consumer debt. Those are things like your credit cards, your student loans, your mortgage, your things that are costing you money, basically. You know, whether you have a retail card for somewhere, like a Lowe's card or a Macy's card or something like that. You know, those are all consumer debts that you are using personally, and they actually make you poorer. You're paying money to someone else, they're charging interest, and you're paying that interest, and you're not getting anything out of it except the good that you purchased. And even that is, you know, doesn't feel as good when you buy it on credit than if you buy it on cash. But anyway, I digress. This consumer debt is what we talk a lot about getting out, okay? And that's the debt that you want to avoid. What people who get rich using debt is they use business debt, okay? And just to give you an example of what a business debt would be, if you're a real estate investor, then you are in a business. Real estate is a business. And you're, if you acquire a mortgage, then you're getting debt, but it's a business debt. It's money. It's a debt that's putting money into your pocket. Okay. Because you're able to leverage, like we've talked about before, this is a debt that is adding to you and not subtracting. Okay. And business debt is something that you need to be very, very careful with. And you need to be aware of the risks involved with it, because business debt can hurt you if you don't leverage it appropriately. So we generally like to say to just stay away from debt altogether. The one type of debt that I kind of am semi okay with is real estate investment debt, because the leveraging that you can do there. But again, don't go into any of those things unless you're very aware of what you're doing and that it's going to make you money and not cost you money. Because if it's costing you money, then it's consumer debt and it's not something that you want to get into. So great question there, Joseph. I hope that gave you some information. If you'd like to submit a question to the Tregator podcast, you can email us at podcast@tregator.com. You can post your questions to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Tregator, or you can visit our website, Tregator.com/podcast, and submit questions there. Be sure also, while you're out in the social media world, that you like us on Facebook and that you follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at Tregator. And also make sure that you subscribe so you never miss an episode of this podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tregator podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Tregator. Go to Tregator.com and sign up for your free trial of the Tregator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Tregator, you can enjoy life more, worry about money less. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.